It seems like a noble idea to want to save the Australian wilderness in the fight against climate change. But what if I told you there hasn't been a wilderness in this country for the past 50,000 years? Indigenous Australians have been here for thousands of centuries, and their unique agricultural practices could just be the key to be fighting for us fighting against a changing climate. Nathaniel Keesing caught up with writer and columnist Jeff Sparrow to find out more.
So why is it problematic to call parts of Australia wilderness?
Today, when we think about nature, for many of us, we think about nature as something that's counterposed to humanity, almost by definition. Well, by definition, in fact. And so the characteristic form of that is wilderness, which is defined as land by human beings. Historically, one of the problems with it is, of course, there's no part of Australia that has been unaltered by human beings, because Indigenous people have lived in Australia for, 50,000 years or probably more. And in that time, they have reshaped the Australian continent through all sorts of mechanisms, but most obviously fire stick farming. So that the environment that the first Europeans encountered wasn't a wilderness, but was an environment that had been shaped by Indigenous people. So in that sense, in the Australian context in particular, talk of wilderness can re-inscribe the old tropes of terra nullius. If you know, you think about the settlement of Australia, this notion that here was this untouched wilderness that no human beings had ever had anything to do with. And of course, there were human beings there.
Well, what kind of agricultural practices did Indigenous people use here in Australia?
When many of the white explorers or settlers came to Australia, they described seeing what looked to them like a gentleman's park in England. And within a very short period of white settlement, those open fields that the first white settlers saw had totally vanished, because, of course, they weren't natural at all. They were dependent on the regular burning of the land to keep it clear, to encourage the growth of certain sorts of plants, the proliferation of certain kinds of animals, and to discourage others. So what they were seeing was a shaped environment, but they misread that and saw this as, as something that had nothing to do with humans, because, of course, they underestimated the tremendous knowledge of Indigenous culture.
Well, in your article, you mentioned that Indigenous history shows there's nothing inevitable about the environmental carnage being unleashed now. Could you elaborate on what this inevitability means, please?
At base, the environmental crisis that we're now facing, which goes beyond climate change, we're talking about the acidification of the oceans, we're talking about the proliferation of plastic particles, we're talking about deforestation, destruction of species. All of this comes down to the way that humanity relates to nature. So humans are part of nature, but humans are also capable of shaping nature. And this relationship between humanity and nature has manifested itself in different ways. What kind of land can be exploited and what kind of land can't? We need to collectively decide how we are going to use our resources, where we're going to allocate people and resources, what kind of things we are going to produce and what kind of things we are not going to produce. So, I mean, my argument would be is from where we are now, the only way we are going to get out of the environmental crisis is through a planned economy. And that may sound like it's outside the realms of current, political possibilities, but the crisis we face now is so acute that there's no solution that's not radical. And, we need to start talking about living in a fundamentally different way.
Writer and columnist Jeff Sparrow speaking there with Nathaniel Keesing.